101.1 The Esports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
With a weekly one-hour show. Wow! In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator, cage side at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
It's In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1, The Sports Animal. Great to have you with us once again Thursday nights, following the great show Coach to Coach. This week, we are breaking down UFC Vegas 12, Hall versus Silva, looking ahead to UFC Vegas 13. Our interview segment, it's a special guest, so we've decided to have her interview with us throughout and tap into his knowledge. That is the president of Valor Fighting Challenge, and he is the head trainer and coach at KMAA in Knoxville with all those great fighters, terrific camp, and sponsor of our lightning round. Eric Turner joins us on the show along with co-host Tim Loy. ET, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks so much for having me, Vince. I love being on the show.
Man, I appreciate it. Great to have you with us. Tim Loy, how are you, my man?
I'm good, man. You know, we're coming out of a spooky night of fights. We're going to recap all that and get into a fight week ourselves here locally. So I'm excited. Let's jump into it.
Yeah, that's a big reason why we wanted to have Eric on. And then also, you know, give us a little different perspective from his view as a trainer and a coach and a promotion president on some of what's going on in the UFC and that connection from the regional fight game to the national big organizations like the UFC, Bellator, and others. So let's jump in. Our first segment is the big three. We start with UFC Vegas 12. Uriah Hall defeats Anderson Silva, fourth round TKO in a minute 24. This was one that, Tim, you and I talked about that really weren't too hype up to see. Uriah Hall got the victory. He did enough to clearly put Anderson down several times. Seeing a legend like Anderson Silva look like a shell of himself, which is no surprise to any of us that watch MMA and the UFC. That part of it just kind of sucks a little bit. You know, just to be honest with you, you want to remember him at the peak of his game, and he's dropped off so much. Hall did enough to win. There's no doubt about it. Tim, first of all, what'd you see? And then Eric chime in after that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said there, really. The first couple of rounds, Hall was maybe just giving a little too much respect to Silva there. You know, this is an all-time great, and Uriah Hall, a longtime student of the game. So that was something that a lot of people kind of foresaw. In the third round, he started picking it up a little bit. He dropped him at the end of the third round, ended up gets him out of there in the fourth round. Emotional afterward, you know, he said he was sorry. You know, that he hated to do that, but you know, Anderson Silva, class acts all the same afterward. It's a good win for Uriah Hall. Still don't know that it, you know, convinces me that he's ready for the upper tier of the middleweight division, but I'd like to see him maybe against maybe, you know, a fight against Cannoneer or something like that. Another guy that just lost that would, you know, help, you know, win over a guy like that would maybe elevate him on up the rankings.
Eric, what was your takeaway from this fight and maybe what we think about Anderson Silva big picture?
Well, I love Anderson Silva. I mean, anyone's been in the game for longer than a minute will recognize him as being one of the greatest fighters UFC's ever had. You know, but he's a hard fighter to fight because he's a counter striker. So it was really tough for Uriah Hall, who's a bit of a head case, to just be patient and not get overextended. So yeah, that kind of makes for a boring-ish fight. But it was smart from Uriah Hall's perspective. You know, it's just a shame. You know, I tell my guys at the gym all the time that everyone's dream has an expiration date. There'll come a day when you can't do this anymore. And you know, some guys want to hang around a little bit longer than they should just because, you know, they like being famous and they like the money and they like all this stuff. So, you know, it stinks to see Anderson Silva kind of slide like that. I'd like to see him maybe, you know, fight one or two more times, but not against this, you know, upper echelon guys in the top 10 or top 15. Take some guys towards the back. And, you know, if he can't beat those guys, then maybe he should retire. But I think they'd give him some confidence and some wins he could probably build on and still keep that name relevant. So, yeah, you know, not a fan-friendly fight from the outside perspective, but from a coaching perspective, I thought it was a good fight from Hall, being patient the whole time.
Well, it's interesting. Anderson Silva, in his post-fight interview, didn't close the door on fighting again because that was a talk, that this was his go away fight. And then when Michael Bisping would ask him about it, are you confirming that you're done? And he said, well, we got to wait and see, you know, typical fighter, right? And then Dana White's like, I don't think he should fight again. But Dana White's also not going to stop him if he does. He'll put him out there because he's still a draw.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, they let BJ Penn fight, and he was like 0-8 in his last couple of fights. Right. So I mean, they'll keep putting BJ Penn out there. They'll put Anderson Silva out there. That's actually a fight that we wanted and almost had. You know, I think we might talk about it here in a little bit, but when we fought De Lima in Nashville, they called us up when we were driving to Nashville and said, hey, if we just pay your show money, will you, you know, skip this fight and fight Hall, Anderson Silva down in Brazil? And we're like, well, no, we want to beat this guy and then we'll fight him. So Vince is all out. He was like, yeah, I'll go fight Anderson Silva. I just got done, you know, beating De Lima with a Von Flew. Let me go fight. Let's go do this again. So if he wants to stick around, you know, come back to light heavyweight, we'd love to have that opportunity to fight him for sure.
And meaning Ovince Peru, right? Just to clarify for our listeners. Yeah. Tim, what do you think in terms of Anderson Silva in the sport historically? Because some would put GSP ahead of him, John Jones for some. Historically, where is Anderson Silva in your mind?
That's tough, man, because, you know, it's always, you know, this sport's very much what have you done for me lately, you know? So, you know, he's kind of petered out here over these last several years. I believe I saw where it's been 8 years since Anderson Silva's really had like a legitimate win. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a long time. So, you know, guys like GSP, they didn't let themselves have that downside. You know, John Jones arguably still hasn't been beaten, you know, so obviously Khabib never was beaten. So for me, he slides down the list. I still think he's an all-time great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to disrespect Anderson Silva, just, you know, the last 8 years haven't been great. And so that's definitely tainted his overall legacy, I think, a little bit, comparatively speaking, to these guys that got out at the top.
I agree with you because you have to judge the entire body of work. You can't just say, all right, we're just going to judge everyone at their peak moment. It's all things considered, the whole body of work. You can't move the goalposts and say, all right, this guy, I'll judge him when he was at his best. But this guy, well, he didn't have a long enough career, so he could have been this. You can't change the rules. You got to kind of be as consistent as you can. So I agree with you that you can't discount all those struggles at the end. All right. Bryce Mitchell defeating Andre Feely. 30-27 on two of the judges' scorecards, 29-28 in the other. 15th ranked featherweight gets W over a named fighter. What'd you think of Mitchell's win?
I thought he looked great. I think there's still some holes. You know, I think Feely gave him a tough fight. I read that Feely prepared with Gary Tonin for the grappling of Bryce Mitchell, but that wasn't able to negate the takedowns. I think he got 7 takedowns over the course of the fight, and so Feely just couldn't keep it where he needed it to be. He did manage to cut Bryce pretty good. But I think Bryce is definitely a star on the rise. His stand-up really needs work still. I think if he runs into a guy that can really match his wrestling and he can't get him down, then we're really going to see how good Bryce Mitchell is in the grand scheme of things.
Eric, what did you think of this one?
Oh, I loved the fight. Loved it so much. So, we've been working a lot at the gym on chain wrestling, and Bryce Mitchell just went out there and put a chain wrestling clinic on him. You know, every shot, it was to another shot, to another shot, to another shot. And as soon as he got him down, you know, he just kept putting him down, down, and down. So I really liked it. I thought it was great. And a lot of the people at the gym were like, yeah, this is exactly what we've been working on. It's really good. So, you know, I thought it was a fantastic performance. Yeah, I agree with Tim. I think, you know, he needs to work on his stand-up. You know, him versus Cody Durden, I think, would be a lot of fun because Cody is wrestling. And, you know, he's a heck of a fighter, and he's got really good stand-up, too. So that'd be another fun fight that I'd like to see.
No question. Another fight on the main card, you know, name draw and heavyweight, Greg Hardy defeating Maurice Green, second round TKO. Tim, anything jump out about Greg Hardy's win?
Not really. I mean, I don't think that Greg Hardy showed a whole lot. I will say, like, in the lead up to this, Greg Hardy showed a lot of improvement from fight to fight to fight. I didn't think he really necessarily showed a whole lot of improvement in this fight. He did what he was supposed to do. It maybe even took a little longer to do it than he should have. And more or less, that's just me fading Maurice Greene. I'm not a real big on Maurice Greene, but, you know, Greg Hardy keeps the train rolling.
Is Greg Hardy someone, Eric, that you see potential in, or is he what he is, a former NFL player that has some name draw, but so many limitations that he can only go so far?
Yeah, you nailed it 100%. That's what he is. He's not going to be a champion. He's not going to be a challenger, but he does have a good name, and he's getting to do what he wanted to do. So I remember back when we were fighting in Strikeforce, the running back from Georgia, played in the NFL for a long time.
Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker was around, right? He was a name, and he wanted to do it. He was older, and he just wanted to get in there and mix it up. So, you know, I'm like, good for that guy. Good for him. You know, he didn't give up on wanting to do something athletic and being involved in the sport. So, good for him. He's got a good name. He's a big hitter. So, you know, he's fun to watch for fans.
All right, let's get to our number two, winners and losers from UFC Vegas 12. Tim, I'll let you start. Eric can go second, and then I'll clean things up. Who is your winner first, Tim?
Ooh-wee. This is a card that, to me, is a little short on big winners. I'm going to go with Bryce Mitchell, just because, you know, he kind of keeps his spot in the rankings, knocks off his toughest opponent to date, an alpha male guy, a guy from, you know, one of the top teams. You know, I'm going to go with Bryce Mitchell because, you know, as he keeps getting these wins, he's going to get more and more higher profile fights and maybe be close to getting his first main event.
Eric, who's your winner?
Yeah, I really thought Thiago Moises was a winner. You know, Bobby Green outlanded him more, but, you know, Moises put it on him from the beginning to the end. He threw heat the whole time. So, you know, that was a big step up. Bobby Green's tough out everywhere. He's got good wrestling, good striking. He's good everywhere. So that was awesome to see him, you know, come out and keep a high pace with, you know, high power the whole time and just kind of eat up Bobby Green, who I guess thought, you know, I have this in the bag, and clearly he didn't.
I was deciding between two. One of them was, Eric, the fight that you had in mind in Dustin Jacoby. I thought that was a very impressive win for him. But I'm going to go with Alexander Hernandez. He really needed that win. Did it in short fashion. It obviously wasn't a long fight, but another lightweight bottom of that division. And we talked about whether Hot Sauce can slide into those rankings, and Alexander's kind of teetered around that area. But I think that was a big bounce back win for him to kind of put him back in that ranking mix. All right. Losers. Tim will go in the same order. I'll let you get first pick. Who is your biggest loser from the fight? Then Eric, and then I'll clean up.
We've got some to choose from here. This is a little
easier. More depth than the loser.
I'm going to go with Cole Williams from the undercard. Loses to Jason Witt dominantly by submission in the second round after he missed weight by 4 pounds, gave up 40% of his purse, didn't look like a UFC fighter out there, didn't look like he belonged. I assume he'll be cut. And getting dominated by a guy that's very much a fringe UFC fighter already in Jason Witt.
I mean, I'd probably stay with the Moises fight and say Bobby Green's the biggest loser.
Yeah.
You know, he went out there and hands down acted like he was totally in charge of everything and totally fine. And, you know, he just didn't look that good. So, you know, if you're going to be that cocky, that's cool, but you better pull off some amazing stuff. And he just went out there cocky with nothing to back it up with. And so that kind of really hurt him, I think.
I'll back that up real quick, Vince. And Bobby Green, you know, he'd won 3 in a row coming into that. Like 2020 had been like really good for Bobby Green. He'd stayed busy, got 3 throughout coming out of COVID. He got 3 wins. So that definitely, you know, sets him back.
You know, there's a couple areas I can still go with because you're right, Tim. There was depth in terms of losers here. One of them is Charlie Ontiveros to get mismatched like that by Kevin Holland. I know Holland's a good fighter and very active in 2020, but that was an opportunity for Ontiveros and he didn't take advantage of it. But I'm going to go with Andre Feely. Andre Feely talks an awful lot and he doesn't win all the time. If you're going to claim you're the best in your division, the best in the world, you got to win fights, especially when it's 15 ranked or whatever, whoever your opponent is. And I just don't see it. I don't see the hype in Andre Feely. And again, he didn't deliver because he didn't get the W. So I'm going to go with Andre Feely. Our third in our big three stories, guys, and we'll make this quick. Dana White talking about some future fights. So I want to concentrate on one of them, and that's Israel Adesanya, Jan Blachowicz. Dana White alluding that will likely happen. Eric, we'll start with you. What's your reaction to Adesanya and Blachowicz as a future big fight?
I mean, I think it's a terrible matchup for Blachowicz. I mean, he's a power hitter who, you know, doesn't move really well, doesn't have great footwork. And he uses a lot of, you know, power, but, you know, Adesanya just proved you beat up those guys pretty easily. So I think it's a terrible matchup for Blachowicz. I think it's a relatively safe fight for Adesanya. The only, you know, downside, I guess, is obviously at 205, we hit harder. So, you know, that's the thing he has to be slightly more concerned about. But, I mean, Adesanya's proven that his accuracy is way better than anybody else that Blachowicz has fought, for sure. So I think it's a bad matchup for Blachowicz, but, you know, fun fight for the UFC for sure.
I agree 100%, actually. You know, Adesanya's fought big bruising guys, big strong guys that hit hard. He's fought Yoel Romero. He's fought guys that that are hitters. And he's been – and when he's got that speed advantage, you know, he's able to use it, especially if he gets the big octagon. So, yeah, I got to go with Adesanya here. It's a really tough spot they're putting Blachowicz in for his first title defense, no doubt.
You know, you guys are absolutely right what you said, Eric, when you said it's a bad matchup for Błachowicz. There's a lot of guys that you could fill in the blank bad matchup against Adesanya, but you're right. This one even more so, but Adesanya's just so good. I just don't see anyone being a match for him. We got Tim Loy, co-host. He's matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge with myself, Vince Ferrar, and our special guest, Eric Turner. He's the president of Valor Fighting Challenge, a head coach, a trainer at KMAA. He is with us throughout the entire show. Eric Turner, we'll spend some time with him next on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the sport.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview, letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport. In the Cage.
You say, what if I hurt you? What if I leave you? What if I find
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the sports animal, alongside co-host Tim Loy, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge, and Eric Turner, our special guest and interview here in the segment. Eric hanging out with us throughout the entire show today, talking MMA. So Eric and Tim, we've got Valor Fighting Challenge back in action this weekend. Eric, you guys have been able to have successful shows at the Cotton Eye Joe, and this weekend is no different. Talk about being able to be one of those regional organizations that continues to put on shows and do it successfully and safely like you will again this weekend.
We're just super duper blessed. We obviously love working with the Tennessee Athletic Commission. They've been great. The Knox County Health Department's been great. Obviously Chuck Ward, who's the owner of the Cotton Eye Joe, is just phenomenal. I cannot say enough good things about him. He has been an ally and, the right hand of everything we're trying to accomplish. And he's been on board with what we're doing and how we're trying to do it. And obviously we want to keep everyone safe and we want to keep, the coronavirus numbers going down. It's been a challenge, but we have a really great team at Valor and we have great partners that, help us out and all the things we're doing. So it's been a real big blessing. It's certainly been a challenge at points, but, thank God we've been able to keep these shows going for sure. Cause it's tough in this environment.
Tim, you've talked about it on the show, how you actually have been able to benefit a little bit because other areas around the country haven't been able to put on shows. So you do have maybe a little bit more selection to try to put together some entertaining fights.
Yeah, man, 100%. It's really weird because obviously I'd rather this whole situation just go away and let's go back to normal. But one of the few perks, I suppose, is the fact that I have a lot of toys to play with. There's a lot of pieces I can put together because fighters are literally wanting to come from Hawaii, from Washington, from Canada, because they're not able to fight in their home area. So they're wanting to come here, even if that means coming on their own dime. And so that makes the possibilities as far as potential matches that we can make. It's a much broader spectrum that we can put together.
What are some of the highlights that fight fans can take in and be entertained by with this weekend's card?
It's loaded, man. And, and this is not to downplay our pros at all, because our pros put on awesome shows. But yeah, you can't overlook these amateur cards. I'm telling you, because these guys really get out there and give it all they've got. Every once in a while with pros, you're going to get guys that kind of play it safe and, cruise to victories. You very rarely see that with our amateurs. And, honestly, at the top of the card, we've got two title fights. We've got a heavyweight title fight with CJ Baker. He's undefeated out of Chattanooga, taking on Julian Goins, the Black Cowboy from the Cotton Eye Joe. That's his nickname, by the way. That's not me pigeonholing anyone. He's one of the security guys at the Joe. Really good guy, really strong. Both guys have got knockout power. Neither guy's made it out of the first round yet, and neither guy's been beaten. And then, of course, we've got our 145 title, which could main event itself, and that is a rematch with Gary Sharp. That's one of Eric's guys at KMAA. He's taking on the champ, Andrew Sturdivant, who just won that title down in Chattanooga in September. And honestly, man, these are two guys that you can't tell the difference. When you watch this fight, you won't be able to tell that they're amateurs. These guys are both – they'll put on a fight that's pro level.
Eric, your thoughts on Garrett and then also the card overall?
I mean, it's an amazing card. We're talking about, we have a strong team at Valor. Tim is the right hand of everything. So even with all these, dearth of fighters that want to fight for us, it's still herding cats on the best of days. So Tim does a good job putting them together. But yeah, obviously I'm really excited about the Sturdivant fight for Garrett. Andrew's a tough guy, gritty, great wrestling, great striking, good jiu-jitsu. He's good. That's going to be a tough out. And, Ray Hewlett's fighting for a title too, and he's fighting Linder at Shields, and that kid looks amazing. So that's going to be another really fun fight. I think me and Tim were talking. There's legit 6 to 8 fights on this card that could have been a main event all by themselves. So, you add the fact that there's I don't know, probably 20 fights total because that's the rules. But yeah, you're definitely gonna get your money's worth. You're gonna have a good time. It's gonna be, you know, safe. We're gonna keep everyone with the COVID protocols down. So yeah, this is gonna be an amazing card. So yeah, pros or amateurs makes no difference. This is gonna be an amazing card. Bunch of amazing fights. Yeah, thanks to Valor and the, you know, kind of the work that Tim's done in 2019. I mean, we got Shannon in the UFC. We got Jason mm-hmm. a Bellator fight. We got Emily a Bellator fight. We got Taylor a Bellator fight. So, I mean, we had a lot of people come from this stage to go to the next big stage, you know, just from what we've done with Valor. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see Garrett Sharp turn pro soon, Andrew Sturgeon probably turn pro soon, Parker Wadman turn pro soon. So, I mean, we have a bunch of guys on this card that are definitely going to go pro soon. And then I wouldn't be surprised, you know, a year or two, you'll see them on, you know, these big stages, Bellator or, you know, One or UFC or something like that. So yeah, they're getting after it for sure.
FighterChicksWithAnX.com. You can get your tickets. The cage side, it was sold out the day they went on sale. This is a show with a lot of anticipation. We've got not only is there just a high level of fighter on this card, but there's also just a couple like super popular fighters on this card. So you know, the floor sold out within 10 hours of going on sale, and we still have some general admission. If you can't be there in person, you can watch the pay-per-view at the VFCMMA.com website. We'll have a link for our Boxcast pay-per-view stream. You can watch it at home.
Eric, talk about Emily King's upcoming fight in Bellator.
Well, this is a fight we've been preparing for a year, so hopefully we're as prepared as we could possibly be. They beat it back in, let's say, February or March. We're supposed to fight Carrie Melendez, which is Gilbert Melendez's wife. So we've been preparing for it and training for it and training for it, and Emily has just looked phenomenal, just off the charts phenomenal. I don't know what happened in this year, but she's really gained a lot of confidence. She's trusting herself a lot more. Her jiu-jitsu's looking great. And her striking is just leaps and bounds from where it was. So, you know, we're really excited about this fight. I know that Carrie's a tough fighter. I know she comes from a tough gym. I know it's on a big stage, but I really like our chances in this fight. She's a real live dog for sure.
And she is as nice a human being as it gets. And I mean, you can run through the list of KMA fighters, especially all the women that you have in the camp. They're just the nicest, the queen of Valor Fighting Challenge is a part of that, and Taylor Turner, just the nicest people you can ever imagine. But then that switch of fighting and they'll crush you in a heartbeat. It's great.
Well, that's our goal. That's what we aim to do, right? Be polite, be nice off the mats. And as soon as you get on the mats, it's time to wreck shop and mess some people up. So, yeah, that's really good to hear that we're doing that.
Absolutely. All right. OSP, we had him on the show last. He said they wanted to know if I wanted to go out to Fight Island. And I was like, no, you know, that'd be stuck there for a while. That I'm looking at maybe November or December. And you guys got it done. And he's got an upcoming fight December 5th with Jamal Hill. Break this matchup down for us.
We're really excited about it. You know, Jamal Hill, I think he's only 8-0. He's 1-0-1 in the UFC. He got a, you know, fight in the UFC off of a contender series win. He won his first fight, and then he got popped for marijuana in his second fight, which he also won. So he's really 2-0 in the UFC. He's got, you know, really good striking. He's long. His reach is as long as Vince, which is 81 inches. So he's tall guy, good boxing. You know, he's going to be a challenge for us for sure. But, you know, Vince's, you know, he's had almost 40 fights now. So, you know, we've seen guys like this before. We've fought guys like this before. So hopefully we can take advantage of, you know, some of Vince's experience and get out there and get after it, because, you know, Vince has the most submissions in UFC modern history, but we'd like to finish with the most finishes in all of UFC's light heavyweight history. So, you know, maybe this is another chance to get another finish and, you know, put on another show and show that Vince still has some stuff left in the gas tank for sure.
Just out of curiosity, how many subs would he lack to hit that mark for all time light heavyweight?
From what I can tell, he needs five more.
Five more?
Yeah.
That seems attainable. Yeah. If he's got another 2 or 3 years there, you get another two a year. That seems good. What do you think about, you know, obviously the last fight was another contender series call up. That was Alonzo Minifield, a guy that similar to Hill in that he's kind of inexperienced, but very explosive, very athletic, a guy that the UFC's kind of trying to test at this point to see if he's ready for that, you know, to take that next step. Ovince is kind of being a litmus test of sorts for these guys, and most of them aren't passing it. From your end, you know, from a coaching and preparation standpoint, that's one of your strengths, I've always thought, is just game planning and really, you know, the cerebral side of things. I've got to imagine that you're getting to see a lot more holes in these young guys' games than, you know, when you're fighting your John Jones.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, game planning to fight Jamal Hill and game planning to fight, you know, Glover Teixeira or John Jones or whoever else, like, man, you know, there's no holes in those games.
Right.
Not that Jamal is bad or, you know, Alonzo is bad. They're both good fighters. They're just not as experienced and they have some weaknesses. So, no, it's a it's awesome because it gives us the opportunity to kind of look at some other areas and try and do some new things. And, you know, we work at a lot of wonky stuff at KMA, mostly submission. So, you know, we talk all the time about this is $50,000, this is $50,000, this is $50,000. So, you know, we're going to go in there with the game plan of not just to win, but to try and win in a, you know, in a dramatic fashion, something people have never seen before. That's kind of our goal. So, you know, Vince likes to do unorthodox submissions. He likes to do unorthodox striking. And we've kind of really found our groove with that. And, you know, Vince has got some great stuff. And I would be surprised if you see something you've never seen before in this fight. So I'd tune in for sure.
And he likes to collect bonuses.
Yeah, he does. We love bonuses.
How impressive is it that now that Von Fluchoke or Von Pruchoke is gaining in popularity so much after Vince brought it to the table?
Well, it's fantastic. You know, I'd love to see more people do it. I was watching the UFC fights this weekend, and you know, there was a guy inside mount. The guy was holding on to a guillotine. I'm like, man, just take the Von Pruchoke. Just take the $50,000. Like, you know, stop fighting to pass up money. Just take the money, man. And no, you know, it's just staggering to me that guys haven't caught on to the idea that, you know, in MMA, the guillotine is the most popular submission, period. Statistically speaking, the guillotine is the sub that finishes the most people. It makes no sense that people are not spending time learning how to counterattack it. No sense at all. So if it's the most common sub you're going to see, why would you not spend some of your time learning how to not only defend it, but to attack it back? So that's kind of our mentality at KMA is if you're going to throw the most common sub on me, I'm going to counterattack with the best, you know, best way of finishing it. So Vince is just the first example of it. But I remember back in one of our Valor shows, we had back-to-back finishes with Von Prue from KMA people, just because like, if you're going to hold on to the guillotine, I'm going to choke you out with it, right? So either you're going to finish me or I'm going to finish you. And I like my chances better because I know this submission better than you. So yeah, it's just crazy that people pass up so much money and pass up easy options because I don't know, because their jiu-jitsu coach says it's a strength move and it's such a technical move. Speaking of that, you know, just in that same boat, the last guy that got a Von Prue that wasn't Vince was a white dude and he did a good job. And the commentators were like, man, that was so technical. He got high level jiu-jitsu. Look how good that is. When Vince gets it, they're like, man, he's just explosive and athletic. Strong, look how strong he is there. I'm like, come on.
God. Unbelievable. Those stereotypes continue, I guess, in all sports. But man, how about that insight from a trainer, coach, corner man, president of an organization, breaking that down on Alvin St. Preux and the Von Prue Show. Up next, it's our preview segment as we will look ahead to UFC Vegas 13, Santos versus Teixeira. That's next on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers.
This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Back here on In the Cage MMA Radio with Tim Lloyd, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. I'm Vince Ferrar. Great to have you with us, our special guest, not only for an interview segment, but chiming in with his analysis throughout the entire show, is the president of Valor Fighting Challenge. And then he's also the head coach and trainer at KMAA. Just a reminder, you can get our podcast. That'll be posted shortly after our show today. Anywhere you get your podcast, whether it's Apple, Google, Spotify, anywhere you get them, subscribe to In the Cage MMA Radio, be updated for you. Or you can go to our website, 991thesportsanimal.com, and then go to the show tab or audio tab, and you can see all of our past shows there and catch up on anything you missed each week, Thursday nights, 8 to 9. And then you can also follow us on social media as well. Just search for Tim Loy on Facebook and then follow me on Twitter at Vince Sports. All right, UFC Vegas 13, another card that is not the most exciting on paper, especially compared to some of the shows we have been treated to by the UFC. The main event is Thiago Santos against Glover Teixeira in a big time contender light heavyweight bout. Eric, we'll start with you. Alvin St. Preux has fought Glover Teixeira, so you've obviously prepared for Glover. You know him really well. You know the division really well. What do you think of the matchup between one Santos versus three Glover in that light heavyweight division?
Man, I think it'll be a fun fight. You know, we fought on the card that Glover fought Anthony Smith on when we fought Rothwell, Vince fought Rothwell. And I thought, man, he's, you know, Glover's getting older. He's probably lost his step. And then he went out there and just demolished Anthony Smith. Yeah. So I was like, wow, and, you know, rare that guys get older and much better. And he just looked phenomenal. Sometimes you'll share locker rooms. And so that was one of those where we kind of were in the same locker room and just watching him move and hit. And I was like, man, he looks amazing. So, you know, I hope Thiago is healed up and I hope he's ready for a grueling fight because you can hit Glover with a sledgehammer and he just won't go down. You have to just hammer him. So, you know, hopefully he can do that. If he can't, I'm fairly certain that Teixeira will just drag him into deep waters and drown him out there. Cause that's what Glover does. He's just kind of relentless, keeps plugging along, keeps working, just outworks guys. So I think it's going to be a fun fight. The first couple rounds probably go to Santos, but you know, I think Glover over five rounds gets him into a position where he can finish him though.
Tim, what do you think?
Man, I've got to agree with everything Eric said. Honestly, it's for me, it's a Glover Teixeira here. I think he's just been in there and overcome a higher level of competition than Thiago Santos. And Thiago Santos, obviously, you know, he's coming in with a lot of finishes. He's a heavy hitter, and but you know, Teixeira hasn't really shown to be very chinny. You know, he hasn't really lost to anything but the top of the division. You know, he and even then, he doesn't get finished very often. The last time he got finished was in 2017. Gustafsson. So I feel like he's just been fighting a higher level of competition and beating them, if you will. And like Eric said, also the gas tank checks out. That's one thing. And Thiago Santos is going to be very dangerous those first couple of rounds. He's a hitter. But, you know, I think Teixeira drags him into third, fourth, fifth. You may even see a finish out of Teixeira, I'm going to say, in third or fourth round.
Well, Santos, he's fought at 185, though, right?
Yeah, sure has.
Yeah,
he's fought as low as 185. You know, he's got losses to guys like Eric Spicely, you know, so he can slip up and lose to guys that aren't on that top tier where you just haven't seen that out of Teixeira.
Santos, he's not a big submission guy. He either KOs guys or goes to the judges' scorecards. I think Glover's got more ways to win. It may go the distance or maybe a late stoppage, but are we unanimous across the board on going with Glover as our predictions here?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I believe it sounds that way, man. And Glover's the underdog here, so if you bet on it, you can get a nice little payback.
There you go. All right, another fight on the card. I guess it's the co-main event. Name value and Andre Arlovsky against Tanner Boser in a heavyweight bout. Tim, what do you think of this one?
Well, Boser's a guy that is kind of come out of nowhere. You know, he's a guy that wasn't a very highly touted prospect out of Canada, but he's gotten some wins here, some big knockout wins, two in a row over Felipe Lins and Rafael Pessoa. A little bit of a step up here against Arlovsky, but Arlovsky really hasn't looked just, you know, outstanding over the last few years. If anything, I think, you know, I would say that Boser is who the UFC wants to see win, but I wouldn't actually expect this fight to be that entertaining. I can actually see, even though Boser's got those big knockouts here in his last couple, I see this being kind of a slower paced slog of a fight.
Eric?
Well, I mean, you can never count him out because Arlovsky's got a glass jaw sometimes. I don't know how it works, but sometimes you can breathe on him and he'll fall over, and other times you can hit him with everything and he won't go down. So, you know, it just really, you know, matters if we can find the chin or not. Arlovsky, you know, he's older. He's obviously lost a step, but he's still, you know, got a big name and he's still dangerous. Just he's not as durable as he once was.
Yeah, the sample size for Boser is far less than Arlovsky for sure. I just don't think Arlovsky is what he used to be, and I don't want to be lured in based on his name as a vet. I don't think he has, even though he wants to, I don't think he has another title contention run in him. So even though there's more of an unknown with Tanner, I'm going to go his direction.
I'm going to go with Boser as well here, but it's not with a whole lot of confidence, to right. tell you the truth, just because I said these last two knockouts that Boser has gotten were impressive, but those are not really how he fights. He happened to get knockouts, but he typically is a guy that's going to come out there and chop the leg a lot, and he's kind of more of a measured guy. So if he fights that kind of fight with Arlovsky, he could go either way.
Well, I'd probably go with Arlovsky. Arlovsky has twice as many fights as Boser does, so I'm a big fan of experience. So, you know, just go with Arlovsky because he's been in there with the best of the best, and he's still around. So, you know, it's hard to bet against a guy that, you know, has been in there with everybody and is still around versus some newcomer guy on the stage.
Just run through some of the highlights here, and then, Tim, tell me what jumps out to you on the card. You got Ronnie Barcelos against Khalid Taha in a bantamweight bout, Claudia Gadelha against Jan in a women's flyweight bout, and then a couple of others. Again, Heinisch is on the card against Brendan Allen, Giga Chapatse, another fighter. He's like Kevin Holland. You know, they're fighting like almost every other week, and he's back on the card against Jamie Simers. A couple other names on there as well. What jumps out to you about the rest of the card this weekend, Tim?
there's a lot of young bucks on here, and a couple of good vets as well, like Darren Elkins. But I would say the two fights that kind of jump out to me otherwise would be Claudia Gadelha and Yan Xianan. I think, you know, Xianan hasn't lost yet. I think she's like 5-0 in the UFC, so that's one that they're wanting to elevate up that strawweight ranks. And then to me, fight of the night is Ian Heinisch and Brendan Allen. Man, that's going to be a war. Brendan Allen, former Valor middleweight champion, beat Sid the Kid Wheeler for that, and went on to the UFC and has really just been on a tear, man. Like hitting, it seems like he looks better and better every time you see him. So I like Brendan Allen and Ian Heinisch, because Heinisch is also a very dangerous guy. You know, he just knocked out Gerald Meerschaert in seconds.
And just to correct myself, it's a women's strawweight bout with Gadelha and Yan, not flyweight. So, Eric, what do you think about the rest of the card?
Tim nailed it. That's exactly what I was going to say, too. Obviously, you know, since we have Emily, I, you know, keep an eye on the 115 division, and Gadelha looks good. Now, you know, that's an exciting fight. You know, Ian's always a fun fight. That's going to be, you know, it's going to be a really good fight, I think, in my opinion. I think Brendan Allen's a tough out. I think it'll be a lot of fun for the fans. Which is telling what you tend to get. And then just because, you know, we fought him at one point, I would like to see De Lima do better at heavyweight. You know, he's a nice guy. He hits like a mule. I mean, he was gigantic when he was fighting. So I'd like to see him do well just because he's such a good guy. He's, you know, really nice, really friendly. I mean, just because we fought him doesn't mean we don't like him. So he's just a nice guy. I don't like him.
There's been a lot of movement on this card with fights in and out. So it'll be interesting to see if there's anything late that gets altered. But, you know, good to see the UFC continue to put events out with Vegas 13. And November 21st is the next big pay-per-view for the UFC when we get a couple of title fights with Davidson Figueiredo against Cody Garbrandt and Valentina Shevchenko against Jennifer Maia. So yeah, maybe some of these cards have a lot of fluidity to them and maybe don't have the best lineup in terms of get you excited. But Tim, don't you think that some of these UFC cards that maybe haven't looked as great on paper, especially the undercards, they've delivered pretty well with some decent entertaining fights, right?
Yeah, it's been a minute since I can just be like, well, that card just wasn't very good. There was no redeeming qualities to that card. It's been a minute. Even though there's been some cards that coming in I may be less than excited for, there's usually something that delivers some entertainment.
We'll get to our lightning round presented by KMAA with the man from KMAA, Eric Turner, who is our guest throughout our entire show. That's next on In the Cage, MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to. Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick. But we promise it'll be good. Here's the MMA Lightning Round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
We're back here on In the Cage MMA Radio. 1 hour of MMA talk in Knoxville, Tennessee and beyond via streaming, smart speakers, our free WNML mobile app. Get all those, and you can always listen to us from wherever you happen to be. I'm Vince Ferrar, along with Tim Loy, and our special guest throughout the entire show today. He is the president of Valor Fighting Challenge, and he's the head trainer and coach at Knoxville Martial Arts Academy, who sponsors our lightning round each week here on In the Cage MMA Radio. So, Eric, since we got you, why don't you tell everyone all the great things that KMAA has to offer right here in Knoxville?
Well, we're world famous, obviously, for our mixed martial arts, fighters in the UFC, fighters in Bellator, all that stuff. But the thing that I think I'm most proud about at KMAA is it doesn't matter, you know, where you come from, what your gender is, you know, what your political affiliation is. We're just one big family and everyone works hard and cares about each other. So, yeah, we have more female fighters than just about everybody else. Yeah, we have a lot of UFC fighters, but no, we really like seeing people like lose weight or get in shape or feel better about themselves or learn self-defense or get their kids involved. We have kids classes that start as young as 3 and our oldest student is 74. So somewhere between that range, doesn't matter what your body type is, doesn't matter how much you weigh, doesn't matter what you're wanting to do. We want to help you achieve your goals. So yeah, KMA is not just a fight gym. It's a gym for people and for families.
And it is amazing. Like with all those things that you mentioned with backgrounds of fighters with their stories, inspirational people and great human beings as well. So it's not just, hey, someone's already accomplished this. It's someone did amazing things in accomplishing that, and then they can feed off of that to achieve their personal goals.
Oh yeah, for sure. I really appreciate you saying that. Thanks so much. Yeah, and we're just as happy to see people lose 15 or 20 pounds and feel better about themselves as we are to see, you know, UFC wins or Bellator wins or something like that. So we want to help people achieve their goals or lose weight or, you know, whatever it is that they want to achieve, we want to help them get there. So that's what KMA is all about.
All right, so let's jump into our quick hit topics with a lightning round. Bellator 250 last week, Lima Musasi was the main event. Musasi gets the win over Lima. Henry Corrales beat Brandon Gertz. Split decision. Those were the two top fights. It's amazing. The judges' scorecards were completely backwards. Two of them had 30-27 in that Corrales-Gertz fight. The other had 27-30.
I
don't know how that happens, but Tim, what'd you think of those two big fights on that Bellator card?
You know, I like Musasi to win that fight. I thought he would have the better overall striking and just kind of be the bigger guy. Good win for him over, you know, Douglas Lima is very good. One of the best fighters Bellator has, you know. Corrales-Gertz was, it's rare that you see that 30-27 on both ends of the spectrum. That's definitely kind of raises some eyebrows. And then, of course, you know, also Jake Hager on that card, Vince, old Jack Swagger.
So, Eric, what'd you think of Jake Hager? No, there we had talked about this last week that was supposed to be Big Sexy Billy Swanson for Valor Fighting Challenge in that spot. They didn't want that tough a challenge. They went another direction with Brandon Calton, and Hager won via split decision. What'd you make of Hager's performance?
I thought Calton won. You know, watching that fight, I was like, yeah, no kidding. You don't want Billy, because Billy go in there and wreck shop on that kid. So you know, I thought Calton fought a great fight. I thought he probably should have won in the decision, but you know, that's the way it goes. You leave in the judge's hands, it'll always make you cry. So, you know, watching that fight, yeah, Hager's going to need some more, like, you know, confidence growing skill building exercises before he jumps in there versus Billy. Otherwise he's just going to take a big L. Though, you know, to be fair, Billy should be in Bellator already. He's a fighter. He's charismatic. You know, he's exciting. So, you know, I'd like to see Billy get a shot versus anybody in Bellator, because I think he belongs on that big stage.
In our lightning round, quick hit some questions here for you. This one, Tim, you and I talked about it. So this one I'll just reserve for Eric. Eric, do you think Khabib Nurmagomedov will fight again?
No, I don't think so. You know, he's a big deal. Talked a lot about, you know, doing what his parents want him to do. And that's a big thing for him. So if he promised his mom he won't come back, he won't come back. And, you know, he didn't fight for just money. He fought, you know, to represent his people and his religion and, you know, where he comes from and all that stuff. So I don't think we'll see him back in the UFC, which is a shame, because I love him. He's an amazing person and a great fighter.
And this one will be both of you. And Eric, I'll start with you. Give me your assessment of OSP's division, that light heavyweight division right now, and what you think of it, whether it's at the top with the fight we talked about for this weekend or the rest of the division. What do you think about the UFC's light heavyweight division right now?
Well, with John, you know, going to heavyweight, I think the division has become way more exciting, because everyone was basically fighting for second place, you know, because John was just so dominant for so long. So now that he, you know, he's not at the top anymore, everyone's jumping around. Adesanya's moving up and this guy's moving down and this guy's moving over here. So I think the whole division is open and exciting. So that's really nice, because it's kind of been stuck for a while. And the kind of the downside of the UFC fight division is that the guys at the top, they don't want to fight unless they get a 6-month fight camp. So it just jams up everybody. But now, you know, it's, hey, Blachowicz, I think I can beat him. I don't need, you know, 9 months to fight that guy. So I think it opens up the division more.
Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Eric's spot on. I think now there's a lot more interesting fights you can make at the top. And honestly speaking, you know, there's just styles make fights. But, you know, if you put Ovin St. Preux against Jan Blachowicz, like, I think I'm going to go with Ovin St. Preux, you know. Styles make fights. I mean, that's their champion right now. And so he's a tough fighter, obviously, very heavy-handed. But I just think that, I said it for the third time, styles make fights. And so that just – You take John Jones out of the equation and you have a lot more interesting matches that you can do.
So we talked about it a little bit earlier in our first segment, and Dana White's talking about Adesanya, the middleweight champ, against Blachowicz, the light heavyweight champ. What if Israel takes that belt, and is Israel two belts? What does that do to that division? It enhances it, because you got a better fighter, I think, at the top. Well, Eric, what do you think of that scenario?
I mean, I think it would be exciting. I think you'll probably see more interim belts, because when you're a two-division champion, you just can't fight as often as the division necessitates. So you'll probably see more interim champs and kind of title fights. But the upside to Adesanya moving up, if he can get the belt, is there's the possibility of John moving down back, you know, back to light heavyweight. And Adesanya versus Jones, that'd be a phenomenal fight. Just a lot of fun.
Yeah. And the way those two have been going at it on social media, everybody wants to see it anywhere.
For sure. Yeah,
all right.
For sure.
Eric, what a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much. Really enjoyed your insights. Have a great Valor Fighting Challenge this weekend. Can't wait to see you out there at the Cotton Eye Joe next time I'm able to get out there. But thanks so much for your insights, and you guys are the best, KMAAM VFC.
Thanks so much for having me, Vince. I really appreciate it. Every time I get to talk to you, it's always a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. Tim Loy, awesome job as always, my man. Have a great fight week, sir.
Likewise, Vince. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, and be sure to check out the Valor Hour as Tim and the crew. They will have complete breakdowns of all those fights on Valor Fighting Challenge this weekend, VFC 75, with all those belts on the line. For our entire crew, I'm Vince Ferrara. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to get the podcast, which we will post here shortly. This has been another edition of In the Cage, MMA Radio 99.1, the sports animal. Good night.
Thanks for listening to In the Cage MMA Radio as Vince and Tim bring you inside the fight game of MMA with this unique weekly one-hour show. Join us again next Wednesday night, 8 to 9 on 99.1, The Sports Animal.